seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to the book of Psalms, number 68. Psalm 68, and reading verses 19 and 20. The 68th Psalm, and reading verses 19 and 20. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. This is one of the Psalms of David, and how diverse are the Psalms of David. The times when he was in deep trouble and in fear of his death. Another time he was thanking the Lord for the blessings and deliverances that he had received. That verse, the first verse of the 34th Psalm, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now it needs grace, dear friends, to be able to bless the Lord at all times. Because you see, you think, well, I can bless the Lord, I can praise the Lord, I can give thanks to the Lord when I'm delivered. Not to bless him at all times. That needs much grace, dear friends, to do that. But then we think of the times of the Lord's people. As the psalmist says, my times are in thy hand. Whether they are hard times, trying times, painful times, or times of blessing, they are all in the hand of God. And oh, what grace is needed to lay hold of that truth, be able to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I can understand, perhaps, if there are anybody here who have come in and perhaps you may not feel that you can bless the Lord at this time because of what you may be in. But, oh, great must grace be given to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, because he is able to help. He is able to deliver, as we know with David. There are many times, even when his life was in danger in the hand of Saul and other times, and yet he could bless the Lord at all times. And he says here, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. I have wondered whether earlier on whether I should have read the 104th Psalm, because it speaks so much there of the providence of God and the provision of God. And perhaps just one or two verses, he watereth the hills from his chambers, the earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth fruit out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart, and so on. There is a need to bless the Lord at all times for his providential provision. We have, for instance, in the what is known as the Lord's Prayer, as he says, pray ye after this manner, give us this day our daily bread. And we would bless the Lord at all times. Surely if we think of times when it was in the days of John Warburton and Gadsby and so on, oh, how they would bless the Lord for bread, for food. It'd been a wonderful thing to have heard them say grace, thanking God for the food which the Lord had provided for them, although they were in this such poverty. I believe they were taught to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So I hope if there's anybody here this morning who feels they cannot bless the Lord for deliverance or whatever it is, that they may take heart from this word, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the benefit of our, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Think of the benefits. I know, of course, we live in a day when there are benefits handed out, some perhaps too much, some perhaps too little, but nevertheless, we have so many benefits that our forebears did not have. Some of you who are older now will remember days, perhaps, when there was not much money, when you had no car, and when you had none of those blessings and helps in the home, and many blessings in the medical world. Oh, the benefits and blessings of the Lord. And I say, dear friends, when those were in poverty and need, I believe they knew what it was to bless the Lord at all times, at all times. So the psalmist says, blessed be the Lord. In the 18th verse, he is speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Oh, how much we find in the word of God to bless and thank the Lord for, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Of course, he is writing here really concerning those who are seeking salvation, those who know the God of our salvation. Now he daily loadeth us with benefits. So, dear friends, this word speaking of the God of our salvation, and in the 20th verse, he, that is our God, is the God of salvation. He is speaking here to the church of God. He's not writing here to all and sundry, although all men, all people benefit from the gifts and goodness of God, though they may not be aware of it. And yet, here I believe he is speaking to the Lord's people, of these benefits. In the 103rd Psalm, we have it so set forth beautifully in the first five verses of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. The whole being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's speaking to those who know the truth as it is in Jesus. He's speaking of his soul. And forget not all his benefits. Oh, how easy it is to forget his benefits. Although perhaps some may have passed through some deep waters, and yet the time comes when, you know, we get forgetful and carnally minded, and we tend to forget his benefits. When the Lord brings you back into some path of affliction, some path of trouble, then you do not forget his benefits. You remember the Lord. You remember the Lord. I think there's a scripture, is there not? When the psalmist said, or one said, I remember the Lord. Was it not Jonah? When he was in that deep waters, when he was down in the belly of hell, as we read, he said, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came into his, even unto his holy temple. Ah, dear friends, you know, that sets forth those deepest things, doesn't it? It sets forth the deepest thing. Indeed, I believe the Lord Jesus himself referred to Jonah. I may not quote correct, as Jonah was in the whale's belly, so shall also the Son of Man be. And thus he is speaking of himself, of his death and resurrection. But Jonah said, I remember the Lord. Now, dear friends, you know, we should never be in such a deep place as Jonah, and I'm sure you may feel it sometimes. When the psalmist said, the waters covered even his soul, but he remembered the Lord. And that's a great mercy and a great blessing, because it is God's work. It is one of his benefits to his people, that they remember the Lord, and the Lord remembers them. Now, in these first few verses, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We are prone to do this sometimes, dear friends, because we're very forgetful. We can have our minds so deeply concentrated upon our troubles and upon our afflictions and our pains. But he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefit. Now I'm sure what we have in these few verses surely touches so many cases. Who forgiveth thine iniquities? Oh, how we need to bless the Lord at all times, that he forgives our iniquities. That there is a throne of grace, that there is a mercy seat, that we can approach at all times. At all times. I will bless the Lord at all times, because there is a throne of grace that is open all times. Who forgiveth and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Is there one here this morning or more who are cast down because of their sins, because of their departures, because of those things that trouble them? Oh, that each may be able to bless the Lord, that he is able and will and can to poor repenting sinners, that he will forgive their iniquities. Well, even the dying thief knew that, did he not? in the last hours of his life, he could see one that had suffered unjustly. He said, "We indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing amiss." He could see even that last hour there was one who could and would forgive all thine iniquities. Oh, friends, all thine iniquities. We add daily, we add hourly to the list of our iniquities. But we need to bless the Lord, oh my soul, to him that forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. I'm sure that touches some here this morning, who healeth all thy diseases. We have, do we not, in the 15th chapter of Exodus, after the children of Israel had been brought out of their long Egyptian bondage, and the Lord had made a remarkable way for their deliverance through the Red Sea, and we have the Song of Moses. But it wasn't long, was it, before a few days, and they entered into the wilderness, and they began to realize that it was not going to be all honey to them. It's not going to be all wonderful. The Lord reminded them that there would be a need. They came to the waters of Marah, and they could not drink of them because they were bitter. And they cried unto Moses, and showed them a tree, which when it was cast into the waters were made sweet. Now, what was that for? What was the purpose of that they should come to Marah, that these waters should be bitter, they could not drink them? Well, it was that they should keep his statutes and his commandments. And I think we have those few words at the end, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." I am the Lord that healeth thee. Think then also of the in the wilderness, when they were bitten by fiery serpents and died, perhaps many of them under that. And yet we have that figure set forth. I think Mr. Ramsbottom said in one of his sermons, a strange figure, wasn't it? That there should be a serpent of brass, and it would be raised up, that whoever should look, and they would live. We have that short word in the hymn, "Dying sinners, look and live." Oh, how we need to bless the Lord for his benefits and for his goodness, that he has provided that remedy for sin. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. Oh, this must be lifted up. He must be lifted up upon the gospel pole, that whosoever then saw that serpent of brass, only had to look, and it didn't matter how far away they were. I always remember late Mr. Warboys, Ralph Warboys, speaking of the serpent of glass, perhaps glinting in the sun, and people may have been a long way back, but they would have seen that figure, that serpent of brass. They had to look, and they live. Oh, for this look of faith, dying sinner, look and live. Then we should bless the Lord for all his benefits, as we have here, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies from destruction. I don't want to speak anything wrong this morning, but think of those poor people who have been badly injured in London and those who've lost their life. Well, you know, there are so many times when we came into danger, you know. Every time you drive on the road, there's danger so close to us. And how soon it would be destruction. But who redeemeth thy life from destruction? And perhaps there are some here this morning who can look back to a time in their life when they were near danger. Any perhaps who were in the Second World War, and those who have been near death, and yet who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Surely they could say, bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continue to be my mouth. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. See, there's so many things, friends, that we could think of. We have a voice to speak. And so many things. Even, and I'm coming down to very simple things. You have an appetite for your food. It's a terrible thing to have a meal set before you and you can't eat it. No desire to eat it. No taste. There's so many things that we need to bless the Lord for. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Your mind may go back, perhaps, to once or twice when you felt near to death, and yet who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Many destroy themselves, don't they, through drugs and that sort of thing. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord crowns his people, you know, with loving kindness and tender mercies. I believe perhaps we may say in our text this morning that you would crown him for this. But he crowns you with his love. As the hymn says, and he crowns it with loving kindness and tender mercies. I'm not sure, but I think I might have read recently about William Tyndale and all the work that he did concerning the Word of God, that there was this word that he put together, loving kindness. Kindness is a wonderful thing, but kindness with love is a wonderful thing. And crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, the tender mercies, oh, how tender he is. How, as we read in this beautiful psalm, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. These are the tender mercies. He knoweth our frame, remembereth that we are dust. Oh, the tender mercies of a God, this God. Perhaps some of you can trace in your life, in your own particular way, how the Lord has crowned your life with his loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfieth thy mouth with good things. The gospel, where you've had a hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're speaking here of spiritual things, you see, where we read in Psalm, was it Psalm 107, concerning the tender mercies, the hunger, the thirst, and the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. These are benefits to God's people. For all have not by any means such an appetite spiritually as the Lord gives to his people, but it's a great blessing. It's the work of grace. It might be the beginning of the work of grace, where you begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You may not be able to explain what it means, and perhaps some would not understand, but you know. You may not know the righteousness of Christ. You may not know the deep things of God, but you have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. We have to examine our thoughts, our minds, as to whether that brings us to the house of God. That gives us an appetite for the gospel. You hunger now for heavenly food, and your poor heart cries out for God, and so it is as you journey on. But he satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You think of Job, in that 33rd chapter of Job, where I think it was Elihu was speaking to Job, giving Job wonderful counsel, speaking, as he said, on God's behalf. And Job was one of the most tried men or tried people there have ever been. And he was near death. We have the strange truths of reading about Satan and how God said that Satan could touch all that he had. He did. None was so tried as Job. He did, but touched not his life. Nevertheless, his life was very much in danger. But you see, when Elihu came in the path of Job, as God had sent him, so we read, if there be, yea, his soul draweth near unto grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. What a wonderful word that was. Perhaps some of you have known this. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto men his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of his living. All the benefits that were known to Job in all his debt. And surely, dear friends, these things should be an incentive and encouragement to the Lord's people, whatever they may be in, that the God that delivered Job from all his afflictions still can help you and deliver you, or at least help you. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. We have that very wonderful word in the third chapter of the Lamentations of Jeremiah. You find from verse 22, I think it is, about his mercies. And mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions fail not. If you read the third chapter of Lamentations, you come up to verse 22 and you go beyond verse 22, you will see the great distresses that Jeremiah been in. And yet he comes to verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not concealed. Because of his faithfulness, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It's a wonderful thing, dear friends, to a child of God, because they observe something. Whoso is wise and observeth these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, the Lord's people have something to observe. In the 104th Psalm that we mentioned, there's so many things to observe of God's provision to mankind, his goodness to mankind and to beast also, but particularly to the Lord's people. They have something to observe. Maybe as you think of the 107th Psalm, there are those things that you may have passed through in your own way. And whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness, that beautiful word, that loving kindness of the Lord. They will observe it and they will give thanks to God for it. As the psalmist seeks to render praise to the Lord in some of his psalms, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. May I just think of this for a moment, dear friends. One of our sins is a sin of covetousness. We forget perhaps our benefits. We forget perhaps that we have our benefits, that we can breathe, that we can eat, that we live, and so on, that we have our food, our home, a bed to lie on, and yet we may still have that awful covetousness of nature. We need the Lord to sanctify us, that we may say with the psalmist, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefit. Even the God of our salvation, Selah. He is the God of our salvation. He's not speaking here, dear friends, merely, and I don't want to speak wrongly. He's not speaking to all and sundry here. He's speaking to a people who know something of the God of their salvation, Selah. We have this little word, Selah, which I understand means to pause. We need to pause so often in our thoughts. We'll be so busy with things and so many things, and perhaps this covetousness, we need to pause. And by the Holy Spirit to think upon the benefits that we have, the blessings that we have, Selah. He that is our God is the God of our salvation, or the God of salvation. Now, do you believe that? Can you say that? That you believe that he is our God, or he is my God? Dear Miss Steele prayed in her hymn, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. You want to know that he's your God. you believe, perhaps, you come to this, that he is God, that there is a God, but he is our God. Is he my God? We have in the 48th Psalm, towards the end of the Psalm, for this is our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. Oh, may it be so that he will be our God. If he is our God, then he will be our guide, even unto death. We need him to be our guide and our God, even unto death. And here the psalmist says then, for he that is our God is the God of salvation. I take it the word of salvation means to save. Save. His name is Jesus, whose name should be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. You may look back this morning at some times and see how the Lord has saved you from your sins. The sins which be so easily beset us. He can save us from our sins. His name should be called Jesus. For he shall save his people from our sins. What blessed benefits there are to the Lord's people, because they have a Saviour and a great one. Sinner, do you and I know this Saviour who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto him, seeing ever liveth to make intercession for them? He is a great Saviour. Indeed he is. And so there are times when you can bless God for this dear Saviour. You bless God that there is a throne of grace to go to. You bless God for salvation. You bless God that a way has been made to deliver sinners from the law, from that just law and holy, that God has made provision for. He sent his only Son to be the Saviour of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Oh, how many, sadly, perish in their sins. But this God is the God even unto death. He is the God of salvation. He has wrought salvation. He'd made possible a way of salvation. There was no possibility, no way that God could save sinners or that sinners could be saved only through one who was perfect. What a wonderful plan, dear friends, must have been and is the plan of salvation. That great plan of salvation, God should send his own Son, be the Saviour of sinners, like unto us, yet without sin. So he is the God of salvation. And is there any here who are in such depths that he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God through him, seeing he maketh intercession for thee? He is able to save. This is where something that faith lays hold upon. He's able to save to the uttermost. You know, there are times when God's people feel to be uttermost. You might have an uttermost need, or you may have a great need, and you know, the Lord is able to save even to the uttermost, though he may delay. As the hymn says, that for a while he may delay, succour that length obtain, he who taught their hearts to pray, will not let them pray in vain. Wrestling prayer can wonders do and bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. What faith is needed? What faith can be given? Because he's the God of salvation. He giveth faith. He's able to give that faith to lay hold of this, that he is able to do above all that we can ask or even think. What a challenge there is, isn't it? But you know, dear friends, he is able. He's the God of our salvation. And we have a very solemn word here at the end, but he still blesses God for it. And what a need that we could bless God for this great benefit, that unto the Lord belong the issues from death. It's a very solemn word and very deep word, really, but it is God alone that has the issues from death. He, as we said, that he is able to save to the uttermost, and he will be our guide even unto death. But then we shall need this God, the Lord, which belongs to issues from death. It's all in his hand, dear friends. Our souls are in his hand. Oh, that faith may be given. Oh, that our minds may be able to think upon such a word as this, this great God. But he says, the God of our salvation. He's saying, our God. He's not speaking to an unknown God. He's speaking to a God that he knows a little of. Our God, my God. And unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. Oh, what are the issues from death? Well, we know, dear friends, we solemnly believe that the issues are this: eternal life or eternal destruction. I know it is not fashionable to die, but it's God's word. There's either heaven or hell. It's an unspeakable thought to think of a lost eternity. We cannot think of hell, that bottomless pit. No, there is this thought sometimes, and I want to be careful what I say, but you know, the Lord's people, when they mix with, and I'm not speaking in any wrong way to the ungodly, but when they mix with the ungodly, now, would you want to dwell forever with the ungodly? If you now feel somewhat uncomfortable with ungodly people, not that you think or we should think anything about ourselves, that we're any better by nature, may we be delivered from that. But there is this thought. What you feel when you hear people swearing or speaking wrongly or whatever it is, and you feel uncomfortable, would you want to spend an eternity with them? Well, that's only just one thought. But unto God belong the issues from death. And, you know, in the midst of life, we are in death. Life is very uncertain, isn't it? As we heard this last week of those who were taken suddenly, in that awful way, from time into eternity. But it belongs to God, the issues from death. Every one of us. You may think of your dear children and grandchildren and so on. We must each give account unto God. But it belongs to him. He has that authority, that power to do whatever he will. It's a very solemn thought, but it can be a very blessed thought, as one is given hope in God, as you trust the Lord has given you some sweet hope in him and granted you some sweet comfort, perhaps such as this word, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And he who has helped you through the waters of life, I believe he will help you through the waters of death, that is, through Jordan Stream. An auntie of mine who said to her husband, she said, I believe you'll go over dry shod. What she meant was Jordan. When the priests carrying the ark went over dry shod, the waters were divided. And was it not, I may not be right here, but you think of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress and Hope and Christian, and one was sinking, and one said, Brother, I see the gate. And he was reminded also of that word that we all said just now, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow. He who has helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through, and give us daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. They belong to him, the issues from death. May the Lord give us, myself and yourself now, the deep thought about this. Where shall we be when we die? It belongs to him, the issue from death. My times are in his hand. Amen.